something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT.
I bought a horse, buds.
We talk about my Uncle John.
And we play a brand new game called, Jesus. That's all coming up right now on TNT. There he is.
Hey, hello, bot.
How's it going?
It's going great.
So
finally got some summertime weather here.
I know, it feels good.
Yeah.
Last week, I was working in San Diego, and Carol came with me.
Nice.
First time that we've taken a vacation together since Suge was born. Like, we've gone somewhere for a night or maybe two, but we've never, like, we should go for the week and leave the kids behind, and we did.
Nice.
Yeah, it was really nice. I mean, I know I have lots of friends who have kids that are kind of grown and gone, and they always emphasize the importance of, you know, spending time together, just the two of you, so that your whole life doesn't become what time is the dentist appointment, who's picking up someone after school, like all that stuff. Because that takes up a lot of real estate in a couple's life. Like, just the running of the thing. Did you pay the this bill? Can I pick up the that? But I'd like to think we do a pretty good job of making sure we have time for each other and time with the girls and stuff on a day-to-day basis. But what a treat to, like, just go away somewhere and have time.
Just getting up and go. That's like when Lisa and I went to Turks.
Yeah, exactly. And
just, you don't know what to do with yourself after 10
Well, that was the thing. That was the thing.
You're like so thinking about everything, but then you start to decompress. Yeah.
Exactly. But it probably took 2 days of like, huh. It was like in Home Alone when Kevin says, like, my family's gone. My family's gone? Don't get me wrong. Love the greatest, obviously, and we spend a crazy amount of time together and love every minute of it, as you guys do. But it was neat to mostly not have a deadline.
Yeah.
Like, go for a walk on a beach and not say, oh, we should probably, we should probably turn around. Oh, we should probably get back to the thing. I should probably do some laundry. I should probably
mow. And San Diego is good times.
It is good times. Yeah, it's, we walked on the beach in Coronado a bunch, and we went out to La Jolla. I was thinking about you because we were on Torrey Pines Drive.
Oh, nice. Beautiful up there.
Yeah, it is. And
on the top of the cliffs.
We went to George's in La Jolla for some guacamole and people watching and a fine cocktail.
See, that's the other thing about that area, too. You can't go wrong with the food anywhere. Like, it's just top notch.
Yes.
There's some great spots, the seafood and all that.
Yeah, we made a reservation at this restaurant called STK, Stick. And it's one of those kind of hipster joints where everyone is outside on the sidewalk. And we had a reservation and they're like, it's going to be 45 minutes till your table's ready, even with a reservation. So just stand out on the sidewalk kind of place. No, not even.
Oh, you can't even go.
You have to stand outside on the sidewalk.
Stand outside.
So I don't need to have dinner in a place where people are wearing PVC tank tops. So
Yeah, that's the other thing, right? Like, super expensive clothing now is like $1,700 for a tracksuit.
Yeah.
And that's what you wear out to the club.
Well, and also just to be sitting having a meal and hearing No.
And it was that salt guy coming along with this dropping meat off?
Yeah, it was one of those places. He licks Carol's arm and pours salt on it, and he's like, no, just enjoy the experience. No.
Like, that guy is pretty much Salvador, right?
Yeah.
The meat guy?
Yeah, it's a nice little hook he's got going there. It's not for me. But my point is, the reason for mentioning this, that we didn't stick around, is because the place that we just stopped into on the way back when stick didn't work out was unbelievable.
Are you supposed to call it stick or steak or STK?
I don't know. But I know, like, there's one in, like, Dubai. Like, it's that. And I think it's a chain. There's one in Hotlanta. Like, there's a bunch of stick. Maybe some of the buds have eaten at a stick before, and they could fill us in on whether it was worth the 45-minute wait on the sidewalk. For me, it wasn't, but maybe I'm missing something.
That was supposed to be the big place, though, like DJ Khaled out front.
Yeah. But it's so weird, like, with travel, as you know, if someone went to Toronto and they'd never been before and they went up the CN Tower and went to the aquarium and ate at whatever restaurant in the Eaton Center, you would have a very different impression of Toronto than if you went and stayed downtown and went to the clubs and ate at the latest restaurants and all that. Mm-hmm. And if you went and stayed in the Etobicoke and went to a Jays game, your impression of Toronto would be very, very different too. So who knows? Maybe everyone in San Diego is like, dude, you don't go to no one goes there. But it seems like everyone goes there. And the other thing that I noticed is it seems like tourists and locals all kind of go to the Gaslamp Quarter. That's not like a super turbo touristy place that the locals don't go to. Seems like everyone goes there.
But it was good times. Some sun.
Yeah, it was really good times. We also went horseback riding at a place that you go on the beach and then you trot right up to the Mexican border wall. So we got to see the Trump wall on the beach that juts out into the ocean.
It looks like the Planet of the Apes.
Well,
like that everything, like the big walls and everything broken.
Well, I don't know if I'm hallucinating. There was the Federales and U.S. Border Patrols kind of going back and forth, kind of patrolling. I think I saw someone run through the wall. And our guide, Eileen, said, yeah, they let them run through the wall. And they let them, like, run as fast as they can for, like, a mile. And then they're like, all right, drive up on a 4x4 and just scoop them up.
Yeah.
So they let them kind of tire themselves out. But she said, realistically, they catch 30% of the people that cross. So even with the wall, it looked like if you swam out 100 yards, you could get around the wall, no problem.
They're not all, yeah. They're not all, it's like it's not all getting bent and bent up, you know, like in the way the Planet of the Apes beach is with the Statue of Liberty. And
stuff. No, not like that at all. But it was really interesting seeing that ill-conceived notion close up, like how insulting it is and how ridiculous it is and how, you know, someone or some people fought for it and believed in it and whatever. It's just a very strange sight.
I'm surprised they aren't little T's, each one.
Yeah, the Trump ball. Yeah, it was weird, because the place that we went horseback riding was called Surfside Ranch, and it was probably 2 miles from Tijuana. Like, San Diego's only 15 miles. So we could see people getting loose on the other side of the wall.
Yeah, I remember going to Tijuana, but like, blackout, not remembering anything about going to Tijuana.
Yeah. And somehow getting back.
The only time. Yeah, somehow getting back and then just not having any recollection of what happened there.
Did you stay overnight?
I think it was early morning.
When you came back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like sun up styles.
Crazy.
But yeah, I was just... I think it's like Hull in Ottawa when you want to drink for another 3 hours.
All bets are off there.
If
I remember a friend of mine saying in Tijuana he saw
the Gatineau sneak.
Yeah, friend of mine saw a truck towing a trailer and people were running up to it and putting their arms in between the bars on the trailer and there was a tiger in there.
Oh my God.
Just driving around the streets of TJ.
That's nuts.
It's bananas. But anyway, like we always are, we are happy to get home and happy to see the girls. And they had a blast. Like, you remember when you were a kid, your folks going away and, you know, you got to stay with someone who's kind of a break from the routine and the people probably overcompensated with treats and
partying.
Yeah, and you probably knew your folks would bring you something back, you know?
Yeah. Well, I do remember that. I remember once, though, with our Uncle John, my dad's brother, was not like... It was, like, the worst.
Why?
I don't know. For some reason, we just didn't have respect for him, and we were, like, making fun of him and stuff.
How old were you?
We were, like, 5 and 6, Jet and I. 6, you know what I mean? 6 and 8 or something like that. Like, young kids.
And you gave him a run?
But, yeah, just busting his balls for 2 days.
And he was like, did he have a Scottish accent?
Yeah, heavy Scottish accent. And I think he snapped on us once and we kind of let off. But yeah, we were just being really bad.
Did Uncle John have, was there an aunt, someone?
No, just Uncle John. And he was just his own character. Like, he would just write jokes at, you know, family get-togethers. He'd have a book of jokes, and his jokes were like, halitosis is better than no breath at all.
Oh my gosh, is that an actual one?
Yeah. Another one was, you know you're having a bad day when, and it would be those kind of, there'd be the, you know you're having a bad day when, you wake up with a fireman pounding on your chest.
Oh, wow.
And there'd be like 12 of them, right? And that'd be just one. Did you know that skiing is on the decline? Like, really cheesy
oh,
jokes.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, books and books of them. Oh, writing some jokes. You want to read a couple? And they'd just be the worst. And some of them were just rip-offs of he, you know, probably most of the funny ones were rip-off things that he heard. So he was... Like, I remember there was one holiday get-together where there was another guy who my aunt was dating at the time, and he happened to be, like, in the entertainment business to the point where, like, I guess he wrote jokes for Don Ho and when he worked in Hawaii or something. So this was, like, a big... Usually Uncle John had the floor for entertainment with his jokes, right, in the books. And he didn't like that this guy came in and was just ripping.
Oh, no.
Yeah. He started getting all pissed off, sitting in the corner all mad. And then the other guy's like, come on, John, you're just pissed off that I upstaged you.
No. A professional joke writer waltzed in there.
Yeah, Uncle John was classic.
So what did John do for a living? Were, like, was he a professional jokesmith?
No, he did have some mental issues a little bit, but he was, you know, there was just something, like, he couldn't do a normal job, 9-to-5 job. So he was kind of on welfare his whole life.
Wow.
Basically, yeah.
So, like, classic, really smart guy.
And, yeah, smart in certain areas and really not mechanically inclined and couldn't do jobs. He would screw it up. And it would be, he's the guy, like, just stop right now. Don't worry about it.
Aw.
Yeah.
So was he socially weird?
Yeah, a little bit, but not really. He was just, you know, it's the occasional repetitive kind of stories, but, like, still mentally there. So just interesting, an interesting person, his perspective. Yeah. But Uncle John was a character. He'd get right into things.
So interesting. Like, he had friends and stuff and could talk to people.
Yeah, I think he just cruised around the TTC all day, every day.
Right.
That's what his thing was.
Did your dad like him?
Yeah, oh yeah, they got along. He would come up, even like when we lived up north, he'd come up. And then when my parents were back in the city, he would come over. And remember, that was my dad started getting pissed off because every time he came over, he was dig a dump. Because I guess his place was crappy and gross, and he wanted to use the nice bathroom.
Uncle John?
So, yeah, he'd come over and take a big steamer.
Come on, John.
My dad started getting really mad, right? He's like, he's not, what is he? Is he coming to see me or is he coming to take his shit?
Aww. Right?
Because he's always ripping around on the DTC, or like around the city. So he's like, you know what I mean? I just rip in there for a dump.
Aww.
Like, come chat for 10 minutes and put his paper under his arm going to the bathroom.
That's not cool.
So, I remember one time on the phone, he called and he's like, oh, you're coming over. Shit before you leave, and smash the phone down.
No.
Yeah, he's like, no more shitting over here. Classic Ronnie, shit before you leave.
Was there just the two of them?
Well, no, this is when my mom, like, when they were living in Toronto,
No, I know, but was there just Ronnie and Johnny? Or were there more siblings?
No, there was a Sharon, who's Elliot's mom, mm-hmm. and that was a sister, and the oldest brother was Tom.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Are they still with us, either of them?
No, I don't think so. Nobody's left. Just, no one, they're all gone.
Crazy.
Yeah. But, quite characteristics, the classic characters, all of them, every one of them. I mean, like whenever Jet and Elliot and I, or our cousin Damien, we get together, it's always about Uncle John eventually, like the stories.
Elliot is Sharon's son?
Yes.
And who does Damien belong to?
Damien was kind of connected through my grandmother's sister. That's where Damien comes in.
So like you call him a cousin, kind of.
His grandmother was my grandmother's sister.
Right.
Yeah. So pretty close, too. We all grew up hanging out together in the summers, going to Wasaga Beach and stuff.
How good is that shorthand? Like, when you see dudes, you can just start in the middle of a sentence, right?
Oh, for sure. Definitely. Old gold.
Like, one-word shorthand.
Totally.
Tagger, can you believe? I thought it was a joke or a false headline. Mitch Marner held up, like, carjacked?
Carjacked, yeah. Well, it's you've been hearing more and more about this in, like, nice neighborhoods in the city. I guess, you know, things are getting to that point where crime is starting to happen more. Stuff's so expensive. You're just seeing a rising in carjacking because they'll just come up and wrestle the person out of the car and take the car, and it's gone.
So is that what they wanted in his case, the car?
Yeah, he had a brand new black Range Rover. So they're like, I don't know, maybe at gunpoint or whatever. They, you know, you're going to get out of the car and let them have it. You don't want to, like, if guys rush into the car, forget it.
So is that what happened? Did they take his car?
Yeah, yeah.
He was like, sure, just take it, don't care.
I'm not sure how it went down, but I've seen other videos of people going to their own home and parking, and they'll come in and get them out of the car and take it in their own house, like follow them into their neighborhood.
Whoa.
Yeah. If you get a nice car, it's worth it for the fight to get it for them. Scary stuff.
Well, I know the catalytic converters are disappearing, right?
Also, it's just impossible to get certain new models of cars, right?
Yeah. But dudes are stealing catalytic and ladies, I'm sure, stealing catalytic converters from under cars while they're parked. And someone told me how they do it sometimes is it's the youth on skateboards.
So the catalytic converter is like the subcaps of the 70s?
Yeah. Yeah, so you have a backpack on, you get on your back on your skateboard, slide under the car, rip the catalytic converter off. And I guess you can sell them for about $1,500. And
yeah.
People are just taking them from cars wherever they're parked.
Man.
Yeah. The price of those rose 325% between 2019 and 2021.
Yeah, just because people are stealing them, they go up in value.
Yeah, metal's more valuable than gold.
Part. So not only is gas $2 plus, it's your converters are going up.
Yeah.
Taken into the... I went to... took it to Jets, the truck. He put through all the filters, changed the oil.
What do you mean? Yours?
All going on. Yeah, the Audi Q7, did it all.
He can, does he, so, he has the computer for all the programs?
He's got that, but he's also got all the tools to get the oil out, and changing the filters was no, well, when you see them do it, and it's like they give you a bill for $800 or something, because it's, you know, whatever, 120,000 kilometers or something, they'll do, like what they call a big deal inspection where they're changing all this stuff, but it's the filters took like literally 10 minutes to change all that.
Whoa.
And again, and it was like half and maybe, I'd say probably like 10 minutes to change the filters and 20 minutes to do the oil change, which was just take up all the oil and then put in 6 fresh quarts.
Well, you know what I've started to notice is the place where we take our vehicle to get serviced, the bot will send a video. Hey, Jonathan, my name's Tim. I'm just working underneath your car here. As you can see, just want you to know your rotors look about 80%. Your pads are pretty good. Had to change the pads up front, though. There was wear there, as you can see here. The mechanic's taking real-time videos of doing service of your vehicle as it's happening.
Come on.
And I think... I understand the reason for it.
Because of lawyers, just to make sure they've looked at something.
Well, I guess so. Right? I can only guess the reason that it started is because some people were like, man, I bet they didn't even look at our tires or brakes or whatever. They just charged us this thing. So the way to combat that is to send a video of, look, here's your car with the wheels off, bud. I'm really doing it. But
yeah.
It didn't have that desired effect on me because I was having a busy day and I got a urgent video. Please watch this right now. And it's 90 seconds. And the first 75 seconds are like, yeah, so anyway, yeah, looking good under here. And I kept waiting for them. But as you can see here, this is caving in. But at the end of it, it was like, anyway, so yeah, right on schedule, right on time. Everything looks good. We'll let you know when it's ready. Like what?
As in, like,
what did I just watch?
The video was the work that went into it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So we'll send that off to you. We're gonna put some music behind it and charge you.
Yeah, like it's like three camera coverage of them. Like, get ready, stand by camera two, and take it. Can you take the wide shot of the rotors?
Is this their YouTube channel? Is it got on there live?
They make a specific YouTube channel smash for that, every car.
Smash that like and subscribe, please.
There's one like, and it's me.
No, but I'm saying every customer is going live on his feed.
Like, I kind of get it. I appreciate the sentiment behind it. But the truth is, I found it kind of a pain to watch this video that was inconclusive.
Especially when it's just nothing happens and there's nothing wrong.
Yeah.
Car's fine.
Car's fine. It's like starting something with saying, hey, big problem. You're like, oh, what is it? I'm going to be 5 minutes late. Okay, well, don't start by saying big problem.
That's life. Just like back in 1993, when you heard this jam.
When I wake up, well, I know I'm going to be.
Speaking of Uncle John, that these guys sing like Uncle John talks. I'm gonna be.
His accent was that thick?
Totally.
I don't know.
These guys are still out there too.
Like, are you going to a Proclaimers concert?
Well, because I know this one and then the Let's Get Married song.
Who's that? Is that them too?
That's them too, yeah. Let's Get Married!
You get a call, Proclaimers, so I would be... drummer went down, and they need you to come out for 6 weeks. Are you doing it?
Like, yeah, but if it's like... You know, Reading and Leeds and all those crazy festivals, but I don't know, maybe not. If it's
still gonna be gong, like, gong, yeah. Gong, gong.
Proclaimers, man. I don't know. I think they're pretty popular back home.
And back in the old country, yeah, you think they still are?
I think they probably do pretty good. Like, they're kind of like the Hootie and the Blowfish level over there. You know what I mean?
I wonder how both parties involved would feel about that comparison.
Well, I mean, they probably do the equivalent of sheds and festivals, both of them. So that's pretty good. That's pretty, that's rolling out fine.
When you say sheds, what do you mean?
You know, like amphitheaters and the
right.
You know, not small places.
Oh, so is that the difference? Like, a barn is an arena and a shed is an amphitheater?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really say barn. That's more of a hockey thing. Playing in the barns.
It was genuinely shocking to watch your Leafs eliminated. Oh,
that was a bummer.
I know, super bummer, but it does almost seem like there's something cosmic going on because the math is bananas.
Well, you know what? I mean, that was as matched up as you're going to get.
Yeah.
That series, and Tampa Bay could have won it already twice, right? So, like, why, you know, it seems to me they always are having to deal with the team that ends up winning it or is in the final in that first round every single time. But this one was, it just felt like they were going to win the whole time because they were just putting on so much pressure and it just turned the other way. And that's the way it is. But I don't think you give up. I'd be pretty happy with that. And I think everyone else is because of the skill level. It's not like they lost 7-1 and it was all finished.
Yeah, it was close.
They fought really hard. So there's no... And Jack Campbell was incredible the whole series. So there's no, there's nothing you can say. It's like, well, that series actually proved it to everybody that he's a legitimate great goaltender and when he's playing really well. So that's something that's kind of rare for Leafs in the last while.
Yeah, that's exciting news.
Yeah.
And so, most of the think pieces in the days since have been like, basically, don't touch the core. Core is great. It's going to happen. Yeah, just why would be patient.
You? Exactly.
I like how Jason Spezza emerged as the, like, heart and grit of the team.
That's really great. Leadership, and because he's a bod and he's a nice guy.
Have you met the Spezza?
I did. I remember I first met him when he was playing with the Senators, and they were in the playoffs. So that was, like, back... I don't know, 99, 2000, like when it was Heatley and they had that crazy team.
Wow, yeah.
So, and he was really nice back then, so for sure, definitely. I'd seen him around a few bars over the years, but yeah, great guy.
And he has a real funny laugh, right?
For sure.
Doesn't he have like a Gronk kind of, one of those?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. I've heard it's like, I know Jay and Dan have had some fun with it, right?
Yeah.
How about this jam, 93?
Informer, wow.
Yeah, your jam.
Worm?
Why does this only remind me of the Jim Carrey version of this? Remember on In Living Color?
Yeah, of course.
Let's play this one. They say you took something that belonged to them. And man, they gonna kick your white ass. It's Jim Carrey doing it.
All I can think of is Fire Marshal Bill.
Yeah. Just a middle class wanker from Toronto. In spite of how I sound, single one black and bigger than Marley and Jimmy and Yellowman. But I'm not even mulatto. My reggae's watered down. Hear me on the radio, think I could not be blacker. But on my video you see I'm really a cracker. Pretending I was a Rasta since I was in jammies. I should paint my face and start betting out Mary. You can criticize the other way.
Oh man,
unbelievable. It's ridiculous. Oh man, humor has changed in 20 years, 30 years.
Humor has changed in that time period for sure. I saw an interview clip with him recently where he talks about retiring from acting, like he might be done. Because he's gotten all the accolades he could ever want and none of it means anything. And he's happy with himself. And he said kind of the only reason to do it is if you're not.
Yeah. Well, he said unless like that magic script comes through, and that's probably not going to happen.
Here's our chance to write a script for Jim Carrey.
Yeah, unless like it's like his swan song. What's it going to be? Who knows? But what? Yeah, I mean, he's already done so much, and it seems to me he does more public communication than he ever has. You know what I mean?
And none of it is about talking out of his butt.
Yeah, so I think he's probably into that too, just kind of, I don't know, given his madman wisdom, I guess.
Spiritual painter guy.
Yeah, and it's not bad.
Let's take a break, bud.
Oh yeah, let's take a break.
My Oilers are moving on, bud.
Yeah, that's got to feel good.
It does feel good.
It's kind of weird that the two last Canadian teams have to go through each other. Like, why not spread it out?
I know.
It bothers me.
But, 1991 was the last Battle of Alberta. And
we all remember how that went down.
Do we?
No.
No, me neither. No, we don't. We actually really don't.
I just said the line that they always say in the sport.
Oh, don't have to remind you what happened there.
And then they get all into it.
Don't remind you there.
Well, because it was at that point, Gretzky hadn't gone to L.A. yet.
I don't know.
So there you go. It was so they must have won. Lanny McDonald, was that it for Calgary back then?
Like, I don't know. Al McGinnis?
Yeah.
Gretzky was traded in 1988.
Oh, he was. Yeah, so he was long gone. But was Messier still kicking around and rocking in 91? Or was he gone too?
Oh, yeah. He was still there.
Yeah, I think they were still pretty good.
I saw an interview clip with Gretzky the other day. I think it was on Spit and Chicklets, Mabley. And Maybelline. He was saying...
maybe it's Maybelline.
There were two offers on the table. And one was Detroit. And the other was LA. And Walter was the one who said, Gordie Howe will be Mr. Detroit forever.
Oh, yeah.
So go to LA. Interesting to think that Walter would suggest that.
Yeah, being so close.
Exactly.
Brantford.
Anyway, it was, like the Leaf series, it could have gone either way. They could just as easily have been beaten as they, could win. And the Battle of Alberta is really exciting, and it's going to be brutal, and it's going to be violent, and it's going to be awesome. Some late nights
for you.
Yeah. I'm actually,
those games crack off at, like, 1 in the morning
for you. Oh, I know. Honestly, Jer, they're so late that it's almost worth getting up for the third period. Like, just starting my day.
It's so late that you get up at, like, 4.
It would be easier to get up for the third period than it would be to stay up. I get up most days about 6.
Yeah.
So to get up for the third period isn't that much of a hassle.
That'd be like the Ryder Cup in Europe if I was really fired up or something.
Why would you?
Getting up early.
Would you? To watch that?
Sometimes, yeah. Or sometimes you'd be stay up to 2 or 3 in the morning because that's when it starts.
I guess ultimately I think the outcome doesn't really affect my happiness one way or the other. So I'm not going to stay up half the night to watch. Obviously I'm a fan and I want them to win, but I'm not that invested in it. That's enough to be exhausted the whole next day.
Yeah. There's there's nothing like, you got to get some sleep. I don't think I could stay up anyway. I got that thing bad now where it's like, 11, 12 o'clock, it's all the light. It's like the bird cage getting the towel thrown over it.
What, just you're just done?
Right out. I'm done. I can't stay awake. I mean, unless I'm out and doing something, if I'm sitting in the same place where I can just go to bed, my bed go crash.
Forget it.
I'm done. Like, it's like I can't wait.
Okay, so the game that I teased a couple of weeks ago that we didn't ever play. It's called, Jesus.
Should I get some music for it here?
Sure. 93? I went through a big UB40 phase.
Little UB40 Elvis.
Yeah. I like when the horns kick in.
Got some crackles in there.
What does that mean?
No, just like that little farty drum part.
Okay, here you go. You ready?
Okay.
Gets really loud.
They're just taking so many liberties towards the end. Right?
The horn section?
Definitely.
Yeah. The Rebecca De Honey.
Where are they? Let's skip. Let's skip to the first one. Oh, here. Hold up. And it's keyboards too, so it's some math. Maybe it's him, the singer guy's like, I got this idea, so it has to be in here. And then he starts going off on the synth horns.
Just try some stuff, Carl.
It's just relentless after a while. It's like, totally Joe Vanelli styles. Take it easy.
Okay, the game is called... Jesus. And here's how it works. I give you 2 people who are showing up on your doorstep, and you have to say which one of them you'd be the most... Jesus, about seeing.
Oh, I love this, yeah.
Do you?
Okay, yeah, sure.
So in a weird way, it's like, who would you rather have in your home? Okay, you ready?
So the Jesus is like...
Ah, Jesus. Like, there's a knock on your door, and you look out the window, and you're like, Jesus.
Yeah.
Who would you say, Jesus, about more? Ready?
Yeah.
Maybe. One of the Property Brothers? or Seth Rogen?
Oh man.
Who's the bigger?
I don't know. I'd probably let Seth Rogen come in, and but I like that guy's. You picked a guy who's so like non-combatible, and he's so like so safe.
So you'd pick Seth Rogen to come in?
Yeah. Okay. I wouldn't be like, oh Jesus, it's that. Mm-hmm. What's it? Is it the Property Brothers guy's name?
Well, there's Drew Silver Scott and there's Jonathan Scott.
Yeah. What either of them?
Okay, so you take Seth Rogen over them.
Yeah.
Okay, here's your next one. Deadmau5 or you hear a Lamborghini roar into the driveway and you look out the window and it's Deadmau5
with mouse ears and a big Lamborghini with mouse ears.
Yeah, painted on it. And the other one is Jeff Martin from Tea Party.
Oh my God.
So first of all, let's hear the OGs. As you look out the hole in your door, it's Deadmau5. Let's hear the OGs.
I would say OGs for Deadmau5 and let Jeff come in. Cause at least like there's enough laughs and he's like heard enough from about the past that we could both have a good cackle over it.
Did you say like H-E-A-R-D or H-U-R-T?
What?
He's hurt enough from the past or he's heard enough?
No, heard with a D. Like the stories of the classic Jeff Martin tales that are legendary out there.
But he doesn't know them.
Sure he does. Absolutely he does.
Does he?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, you ready?
So whatever, we'd have lots of laughs for sure.
Chad Kroeger or Kevin O'Leary?
Oh fuck, Chad Kroger's coming in for sure.
Really?
I don't want to see that fucking laugh pulling out his guitar and playing freaking Stevie Ray Vaughan riffs. Get the fuck out of here.
What?
Kevin O'Leary's out.
No, but is Kevin O'Leary Rockstar CEO?
Yeah, for sure.
He is?
Guitar collector guy, yeah.
No.
His guitars. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I don't even give a shit if he's good or not. I just can't handle that guy. He's like his eyes and everything, he looks like a pig. Like if he had a pig nose, it would like, yeah, he actually looks better now. He's got that kind of like a face.
Really?
The big wet looking eyes.
William Shatner?
That skin that like if you cut into it, it wouldn't bleed. It would just be pink.
William Shatner or Michael Bublé?
Well, we already saw Shatner. He's kind of a bit crusty.
Yeah.
And he's not like... he's the last guy you want to go up and talk to because he just seems like he puts on such a guard.
I forgot we saw Shatner.
Yeah, we sat in the room for hours with Shatner.
And didn't he have a chunk of air?
Yes, he let a huge rip go and like I figured he'd look around and laugh, but he was like, nope, didn't even happen.
Wow, I'd forgotten that.
Yeah.
So would you?
I didn't even say hello to him because I just felt the vibe of don't talk to me.
Would you take the boobs over Shats?
For sure. Yeah, because like, I think Shat has his like circle of buddies. Other than that, he's had enough and heard enough from anybody. Especially he was at like, you know, he's famous for being like, fuck these convention motherfuckers. Remember back in the day, like he would never do them. And,
oh, yeah, right.
Right? So like, here he is kind of doing them all the time because there's just shitloads of money in it or whatever. But he's got that vibe of like, I don't want to talk to anybody in here.
David Suzuki or Avril Lavigne?
Well, I don't want to be like, no, that's mean to anybody, but I'd probably, I probably have David Suzuki come in because I'm sure the stories, like his understanding of a lot of things. Like you want to, if you're looking to learn something, like I'd appreciate Avril. She's a good time. You know, I'm sure we'd have lots of laughs. And but I would definitely say Suzuki for that one.
Did you watch the Junos last night?
I did not. I was doing stuff with family. Or was it last night?
Yeah.
Or Sunday night?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, it was Sunday night.
Yeah. I saw Doctor Strange at the movies.
Did you?
Yeah.
How was it?
It's all right. It's kind of, well, I had the lead up before I told Ed from B&L, our bud, that I was going to see Doctor Strange. He's like, oh, it blows. So I was like, okay. It almost helped because I was expecting it to be terrible. So it wasn't too bad. And I guess when you're with your kids, and my kids all liked it. So I was like, all right. There was like some cheese for sure. With there was like a fight where they're using musical notes and stuff. Like that was a bit much, but you know, it was all right. I think it helped to have the low review. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's good to go in there thinking it's just going to be long and winded. It
see,
wasn't too bad.
I find when I hear, you have to see this, it's great. That's when I get my backup. I kind of like seeing things that are bad because, I don't know, maybe on some level I think I could do better, or
well,
it's fun to look at what went wrong or what didn't work.
It's more to do with the kids, like, because this is the, you know, one of the few times we're out in the same place sitting beside each other for 3 hours almost, or whatever it is. So that alone is like the best part of it. So the movie kind of doesn't matter, I think, you know.
Did you get some popcorn going?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, the popcorn was flowing. They got those, the Cineplex has those fountain drink think machines that you pick.
Yeah.
All the different kinds. You know, like in the Carl's Jr. or whatever, and every place in the States has them now, the smart Coke machines.
Yeah.
Which everything kind of doesn't taste like, it's not the best version of your favorite drink. There's an element of it like tasting like an Orange Crush as much as a Dr. Pepper.
I liked going back to the movies. It felt very normal.
Yeah.
It felt really good to be back in the movies. I found sitting, by the way, on a flight that far to the opposite coast, like, I've forgotten how to sit still for that long.
I know.
That felt excruciating.
That sucks, but it is what, at least you're getting where you are.
Yeah.
You know, like, and that's a day crusher, because by the time that you lose coming back, it's just, it's always gone.
Yeah.
It's like invisible day.
Yeah, it's
time zone sneaks.
It's a good problem to have, but the red eye, no matter which way you slice it, it's a day wrecker the next day.
Yeah, how do you? I still remember being on tour and having those, and you just can't really function properly,
yeah.
Especially if you have to do something.
When you get there,
usually it's a press thing, so you have to go and perform at a radio station or something, and you're like, haven't slept in 14 hours or 25 hours.
Woof.
Good times.
Did you guys ever go to Japan?
No, we never had the chance to go to Japan. We were supposed to play Fuji Fest one time, and I don't know what happened. It fell through because we canceled it. We through recording, or I don't know what it was, but we decided not to go.
Did you
for Australia.
Oh, you did never play there?
No. Yeah, we had like radio success there too that we never followed up with.
Really?
Yeah, good tours. Never did. Probably would have done that on right down there.
Yeah, you would have had some bums in seats, right?
Play with Peter Garrett live. Opening up for Midnight Oil at the Rock Red Rock Redder.
He comes backstage and is like, mind if I jump up?
To come sing Starseed?
Hey, you know what someone told me yesterday? Drops of Jupiter is about that guy's mom.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
So when you listen to it through that lens, it was after she passed away.
Oh, yeah.
And he was, like, kind of imagining where she is.
There you go.
There you go. That makes a lot more sense.
Sweet, sweet and sense.
Yeah. And now, especially since you won't be playing that on stage with them. No, I won't. It's good that you know.
I'll be there, though.
You will?
Yeah, I'm going to go to the show for sure.
When is it?
I think it's like July 10th or something.
I'm pumped.
Yeah.
I'm pumped to hear.
Are you going to be coming to Toronto anytime this summer?
Yeah, I'm sure. I don't have any concrete plans to. Do you think you'll cross paths with the Drops of Jupiter guy?
Oh, definitely.
Really?
That?
Yeah.
For sure. I'll see him. You want me to send him a message?
Well, just tell him that I didn't know what it was about, and I'm sorry for saying that I didn't think it was a great song.
No, you did. Did you? Did you say that? Oh, no. We had a few laughs with some of the lyrics.
Yeah. But now that we know what it's about, like, tell Pat for me, will you? If you see Pat, like, will you tell him?
His mom likes the soy latte. Like, man, that it's not funny anymore. If it's like it's her move at Starbucks.
The best one that she's ever had.
Yeah.
Did you have a gig last week?
I don't think so.
I thought you were practicing for a gig.
No. I was played golf. I remember I played in that.
How was Media Day?
Media Day was fun. It was great.
Who was there?
It was a real good time. It was the Duthies and the Weeksies, like I said. Remember I called it. It was all the bods and the writing community and the journalists, and it was great to see everybody. But it was fun. The course is going to be amazing. It's the rough is up everywhere, so it looks and there's like the amount of seating. I've never seen that much seating at a Canadian golf event. Like, there's huge stadiums of people all over the course.
Really?
And they've got the 16th hole is surrounded, so like it looks like a hockey rink on the tee box. So there's just a massive amount of seating and stuff. So it's going to be quite a spectacle. It's going to be a great week. I think I'll be there every day.
For the what?
For the Canadian Open.
Oh, and when is that?
I think it's June 9th it starts.
So why were they hosting a media day for the Canadian Open?
Yeah, just talking about what's going on, like, a welcome and a hello and a thanks to the media community, I guess, right?
Neat.
Yeah, so it was a good day, and the course is already nice, so it's going to be perfect. It's like for May at the time, was still getting a little bit warm, so there was still a lot of the weather is just starting to, like, golf courses are kind of ratty generally with this kind of weather, but they've already dialed it right in. So
who did you play with?
I played with a couple bods from Wasserman, the agency that they put together, I guess, like all the, like, they're involved with the seating and the stadium stuff and the promotion and helping on that end for RBC. And so it was a good group of buds. We had a good time.
Did people stick around and make bad decisions?
No, it wasn't like that. It's just like they had a big press conference, and Corey Connors was on there, like, just talking to the press and taking some questions, and just a full-on heads up on how excited they are for everything.
What's Corey Connor saying?
He's ripping up the, you know, it's like he's one of those guys, he might not win every week, but he's always close and always cashing huge checks. Making money, I guess, is what he's doing.
And once it clicks.
Yeah, exactly. It will, for sure it will. But like it has already, but I'm saying it will continue to be. And he's one of those guys that, like Taylor Pendrith, is like they'll be on tour for a long time. As our bud Michael Gligic, another bod that's out there pounding away on the PGA Tour. So yeah, it's going to be good times.
Who's Michael Gligic?
He's another Canadian bod.
Just crushing it?
Yeah. Yeah, he's they're all good dudes. Nice folks.
Hey, did I tell you I bought a horse?
Another horse?
Yeah.
Why? Just to have two?
Well, Carol bought...
A companionship?
Bought one named Lily. And,
Do they have, like, do they want... Like, it's probably better if they're with other horses, right?
Instead yes.
Solitary?
They're herd animals. They like to be together. So Carol bought a horse named Lily, and I bought a horse named Amos. Mm-hmm. And Amos is...
Amos?
Yeah.
With an M?
Yeah. Yeah.
Amos and...
Yeah,
Amos.
With an M. Yeah. He's going to be on his way here in the next couple of days. But the video that had of Amos was Amos walking into a grocery store with a rider on his back.
Nice.
Because they kind of show you, like, here's what the horse is, and he's not afraid. He's called bomb-proof, as they say in horse circles. So this guy walks on Amos's back into the grocery store, hops down, leaves Amos standing there while he goes down the aisle to get a Gatorade or something, then gets back on his back and walks up and waits in line at the cash behind people, just stands there for a few minutes, and then the bud pays, and then he walks out.
Man.
So in theory, Amos should be very safe to ride. If he's that un-freaky outy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just born a bod.
Just a born bod. Because
I also should mention, sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that I know me, and I know starting from scratch and doing ground training and all this stuff, it won't capture my attention. So I wanted to find a horse that was like ready to go today.
Mm-hmm.
So Amos is ready to go.
I love it. I forgot to mention, I played with Phil Kavanaugh. He's from Islington Golf Course. He's a great, was a great time and a good old friend as well.
How's your game?
Crap, but you know, couple good shots, couple pars here and there. So yeah, this is my summer, Jonathan.
Is
this
it? Is it.
This is a big one right here. We're going low.
Are you committing right now to playing a lot? Because I'll be riding Amos. No. I'm not going to have much time for golf.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I can't. I still don't have enough time to be able to be playing two, three times a week. So maybe once. Once every couple of weeks, maybe. That would be nice.
Kind of takes the pressure off, though. Because then you don't have to be up to scratch.
Yeah, for sure. Because then you can just hit it enough to chop it up. And that's what I'll be doing. Chopping it up at fine golf courses around the GTA.
Chop it up, bud.
That's how I do. Chop salad. Chop salad sandwich. Coming up the fairway.
Good chat, bud.
Good job, bud. Talk to you soon.
Have a good week. Bye.
Yeah, have a good week.